It's good to be here tonight, don't you think? All right. Well, why don't we stand? And we're going to sing as loud and joyful and cheerful as we can, because that's what God wants. He wants us to dance up and down the streets like David did and rejoice. Because if we don't, it says that rocks and trees will. And I'm not going to be outdone by non-living rocks. So.
There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved. He's proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like our. That cannot be moved. He's proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. God like ours. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name is worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved has proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Rock of are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above, and I stand, in awe of you. I stand, in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description.
Hallelujah. Well, thank God for his presence. Amen. Y'all happy? Y'all may be seated. Ushers, would you come? Praise God. It's good to see y'all tonight. Amen. I appreciate y'all's faithfulness. Amen. Some people are tired because of the funeral. Some people's got a little more stamina or sense. I don't know what. I don't know. I feel like I'm just kind of, but anyway, also, you know, everybody who helped for the funeral, I appreciate all your help. I have heard compliment after compliment after compliment after compliment about Sunday. Jim Graff called me because Brother Chris was impressed with y'all's attitudes and y'all's worship, and he was even impressed with Scott. Anyway, he went. Chris is head of, I don't know if he told y'all or not, but he's head of the Significant Church. He's the one that's in charge of all our churches. Anyway, he went back and gave the report to Jim, and Jim even called me. And I appreciate when y'all do so good, they call and compliment me. And so, amen. And then the funeral, y'all did great on bringing food to the funeral and all that kind of stuff. There was more than enough and stuff left over. I know y'all worked really hard, but people come from everywhere, and the family was very, very thankful. And all of her family, I heard a statement made, I wish our church was this good. And so, anyway, we had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to witness to lots of people this last week. And so, you know, a little bit wore out, but that's all right. I get strength. Amen. And Some of it's wore out because I drove so much going to a family reunion. But it's not all ministry. But anyway, I am will be recuperated by Sunday. Amen. Praise God. And I appreciate everything y'all have done. Amen. Everybody happy? Praise God. Well, I'm happy. Praise the Lord. I may be a little tired, but I'm happy. Praise the Lord. I may not going to jump too much, but I'm happy. Got the joy of the Lord. You say, I got the joy of the Lord. Amen. It gives you strength. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Father God, for the faithfulness of those that's here. Thank you, Father God, Lord, that you reward them. I thank you, Father God, Lord, faithfulness, Father God, as you're faithful, we're faithful. I thank you, Father God, for what you do. Thank you, Lord, for supplying their needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, Father God, for the faith for them to obey you. And in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. I've got some announcements to make, and I don't know what they are. I read it. Something's going on. We got youth Friday night. Seems to me like there's something going on. Oh, Kristen's wedding. I knew that. I had thought about something. Thank God I've got a mind that thinks every once in a while. You know, it's a filing cabinet back there somewhere, though, you know. Her, Petra's granddaughter is getting married Saturday at 2 o'clock at Our Lady of Victory. And I think that was my announcement that I had in the back of my mind somewhere. Sunday morning, I'll be preaching. Lord willing, praise the Lord. I'm glad y'all are excited about me preaching. Praise the Lord. Hadn't heard me preach in a week or so. Amen. I can still preach if the Lord wills. Normally he wills, but amen. God's been good to me. I tell you what, when I drive, well, my sister and I talked and prayed and, you know, I don't know. When I drive, I get to pray a lot. So, and I've been driving a lot, so. Amen. And I listen to preaching. I listen to teaching. I get built up and turned on and think, man, I need, you know. So when you hear, amen, you get your faith built. When you get your faith built, praise God, you believe you can do all things. Say, I can do all things. Not only do you believe it, you can. Say, I can do all things. Amen. No weapon formed against us can prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, God will condemn it. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of Him. Amen. Say it's of Him. So that means the hindrance is not because of you. Our righteousness is of Him. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I could preach, but Stan does a great job. I appreciate Brother Stan. Amen. Don't y'all appreciate Brother Stan? Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Stan. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I hope what you said about me was good. My wife decided to talk to me right about that time. Amen. Amen. She was fussing at me because I asked her to get me a stand. You know, I was sitting there thinking about him quoting, watch it now. Don't turn your back. We'll judge her spirituality by her actions, right? As the pastor was quoting scripture, I know that we think that it's for us. But the thought came to me that that's the way he has survived. You understand? If we don't meditate on the right things, wrong things will take its place. If we meditate on the Word, we can't be meditating wrong. And I promise you, the Word will always cause you not to survive, but to be more than a conqueror. I wish we could just get that down, that any time that there's the things that happen to us, and they will, that in the natural, we don't know how we can survive. Well, we do know how we can survive. We've been instructed. Do you understand that? Just by meditation, and I'm not talking about this other things that we talk that other people want to put in your mind as meditation. I'm talking about taking that scripture like it's important and quoting, regurgitating. It's not a real pretty word, but that's what cattle do. They eat, and then when they need something to eat, it comes back up and they chew it and chew it, and it gives them nutrition. Well, that's the way we are. We put in our spirit those things. You understand, as we read and as we listen and as we study, things go in that we may not need right at that moment. But they're there. And the Holy Spirit will cause them bring to our remembrance as His promise to us. Isn't that cool? If you actually think about that, He chooses what needs to be brought up to us again because we've already crossed that area. Now, how many of you have read the Bible more than one time? Well, why would you do that? Once you read it, you got it, right? No. No. Not for me anyway. I would tell you the reason that we read and we read and we listen to people that have read, and like you're going to do to me with me tonight, I hope, is that it more than likely is in preparation for things to come. That should be encouraging, not frightening. That means we're being given the tools, the weapons that it's going to take to defeat that defeater. Defeat the one that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Whether it's in our lives or somebody else's, we have the ability because we've meditated on the things that He just spoke. That's come from His meditation. Why? It's the food. It's the life that gives you the energy to overcome. All you have to do is believe it. Amen? All right. Not last Wednesday night. Remember what we talked about last Wednesday night? That I really felt like God changed everything Wednesday night. Do you think there might have been a reason for that?
Yeah.
See, God is smart. And I don't have to be. All I just have to be is the donkey. Now, come on. Y'all remember how the donkey spoke and saved somebody's life, you might say? Well, all I have to do is be the donkey. There's encouragement in that. If you'll understand that a donkey can speak and save somebody's life, then any old donkey can do it, and I volunteer. Amen? Don't even have to be good at it. Don't have to be a good speaker. So I started Wednesday night before, and I want to refresh what we covered, and then I want to try to complete it, okay? And I think it's very timely before and after. It has to do with meditate, what we meditate on. I titled it Stay in God's Presence. And I remember telling you this, and since we've had the things happen in the last week that have happened, I'm sure on everybody concerned, there's been a real tug on pulling your mind away from the things of God. Maybe even question why. We talked about that Wednesday. We talked about that Wednesday night. It is not up to us to know. It's up to us to believe. I believe that God knows. Therefore, I don't have to know. I just have to believe that God knows. Stress should always bring us closer to God, not further away. If we really know the answer, then we run to the answer. We don't start questioning the answer. I want to quickly remind you of what I reminded you of 2 weeks ago, and that is that God's presence is here this moment. It was here yesterday. It was here Sunday. Not here. I mean here. His words and His actions recreated the earth that He was looking at. His words and His actions recreated the earth as He saw it at that moment. We are to be in His likeness and image because that's what we were created at. It's our words, it's our actions following those words that will recreate the earth that we're looking at right now. I can look at it and see bad, or I can look at it and see good. It depends on how I meditate and how I use my words over the next few minutes, hours, days. If we meditate on Him, and not those things that are trying to pull us away, we will be constantly aware of what he's doing. Now, over the last week, I haven't talked to the pastor, but I bet you, and that's not something you say in church, is it? But I would bet you that in his the time that he sacrificed to God with those people, he saw God work. Literally. Not, I don't want him to say that, but I bet you in times coming, he could sit here and testify how he knew God placed things at the right place at the right time, where he could speak, where he could see. And what I'm trying to say is, if we will look at things positively, we will see them positively. We won't see death. We will see life. For those of us that, and we're all going to not only face death, but we're going to face death with others, in others. You can look at death as a terrible word. You know that? We've painted it as a terrible word. And yet it's the door that opens into eternity. Instead of looking at that positively, we get insurance against it. We buy insurance so we don't ever have to go through it. And it never works. No, it's an appointment that we have. And we can either be afraid of it or we can look forward to it. Amen? And if I were to, if I go at the ripe old age of 120, which I can latch onto that promise if I want to, or I can get run over by a train tonight, it's of no consequence to me because I'll not see or feel death. I'll walk right out of this existence into a better one. And I won't even have to look back at those that are grieving. That's an amen point right there. Because you want to encourage yourself in that. See, one of the things, when my dad died, one of the things, he fought death. One of the things I realized and said after dad died was, I believe that you could take the heart out of a sentinel and they'll live another 90 days. I saw that in my granddad, in my uncle, my dad. They're just tough. But he wanted to live to make sure that he took care of my mom. Now, what are we? Don't you think we could do that? But he didn't want to leave her here by himself, by herself. Well, where was, you know, my dad trusted God all of his life, but right there at the end, he forgot that God was taking care of mom. And so about 40 days later, she just got up one day and laid back down and went into heaven. Just that quick. I think she wanted to. I think she wanted to. And I think I could have gotten in the way. I remember I was complaining to God about one time about somebody leaving this earth early. And just as clear as a bell, God asked me, all right, I'm going to consult you now for a moment. When can I say that this person could die? This person could die. If I ask you, when would you tell me it's okay? And I said, never. And he said, that's why I don't ask you. That's why I don't ask you. Because we don't know the time and the place. He does. I want to read this quickly again. I'm not going to study it like we did last time, but in 2 Kings chapter 6, I want to reiterate again to you, what are we meditating on? Because what we meditate on determines what we see. And we're given a choice, by the way, always. 2 Kings, are we there? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Let's begin to read. Like I said, I'm going to cover this because I've got some more scriptures I want to bring up to you. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming, the Syrians are coming. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your kingdom." Or your bedroom. Sorry about that. The prophet of God tells the king of Israel the things that you speak in your bedroom. It's nice to be connected to God, isn't it? You're far ahead of electronics. So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he's in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Was that a literal surrounding of the city? Remember, there was a problem there. By all physical signs, there was a problem. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Now here's our problem. Because we don't spend enough time meditating on the right times, we're full of "what shall we do?" When if we were meditating on the correct things, the Word of God, we would already know what the enemy is planning in his bedroom. Does that need to sink in just a little bit? So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, was that a truth? Was it a visible truth? No, it was not a visible truth. In fact, you could have called him a liar. Are you nuts? I'm counting no one. But I can see thousands. And Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And God is a respecter of persons, right? So what problem do we have, and how are we seeing the problem? Or do we even have a problem? So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. I remember telling you last week, or week before last, that most of us are too busy believing our eyes and believing what others have taught us to be able to see victory and speak defeat. Christians don't cause blindness. All right? Are you telling me the devil can cause blindness, but you can't? That makes the devil stronger than you. Oh, this is good. I like this one. That's a good thought. I'm going to say it again to you. If you tell me that the devil can do something and you can't undo it, it makes the devil more strong than you, or stronger than you. And please don't tell me you believe that. Please don't. Or maybe it's time if you believe that. We need to talk. You are believing a defeated foe, and you are not defeated. Right? Meditate. One of the things you can meditate on is the Word of God, which creates past victories, which creates present victories, which you can expect future victories. I shared with you that time when my son came to me and he had warts all over his hand all of a sudden. And I got you two together, you remember? And I said, "Okay, we're going to pray that these are gone. But we're not going to pray that they're gone. We're going to pray that they leave your hand and get right on the devil's nose." And from this point forward, you're going to see the devil with those warts on his nose. I don't think they've ever forgot that, because those warts went away. And we know where they went. I hate the devil. Did I say that in church? I hate the devil. And I hate everything he tries to do. It's the only hate that I'm allowed to have. But I am allowed. In fact, I think I'm commanded. I follow this up with these few things. A, we will always be aware of this world, but we do not have to be focused on this world. If you're not aware of the world, you'll never know when the world's defeated. B, if we want to know the plan of the enemy, we must focus on the mind and word of God and walk in total faith that God is in control. The world is not in control. Let me tell you. You know, this nonsense that I just saw in the news about these 15 babies getting these shots of heparin. 100 times stronger, and the strange part was of what they should have. And I'm going, what in the world are you giving a newborn baby heparin for? Who decided that newborn babies needed heparin? Well, the world decided. God did not create birth good enough. So man has to step in and poke holes in a baby. Because we're going to help. Oh, excuse me, baby, especially you one that just died. It's a mistake. Mistake was not trusting God. See, the world always wants to control you. We must rest in fact. The fact is, God is always in control and is always victorious. If we can picture, meditate, understand that God always wins, the devil always loses, whose side am I on? Then I always win. Well, you don't look like much of a winner. God, could you open their eyes? Maybe we need to learn this more and more. When somebody disagrees with our victory, does not believe in our victory, God, could you open their eyes? Let's do them a favor. Let's introduce them to the real world. Get them out of this thing they think is a real world. D, if we know that God will always rule in His way with those who seek Him, we will never be caught up in the world's way of seeking power. Do you and I need to seek power? Why would we? The enemy's defeated. God's a winner. I'm in Him. What do I need to win for? E, those that are consumed by thoughts of this world always are consumed with questions. If you will, God open their eyes. If you'll look at truth, the world is full of questions. You have the answers. You're supposed to have them. Let me say it another way. If you don't walk in answers, the world has no hope. You understand what I just said? If you don't believe you have an answer for this world, then the world has no hope. And you don't care about the world. You care about you having the answer. It's a vicious circle. I have no answer. Just always remember, if you can't remember anything else, remember Nehemiah. When the king looked at him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Hold that thought. I'm going to go ask God. I'll be back in a minute and tell you." That's what happened. And the miraculous happened. If we were in a scuba class, I would teach you the art of stop, think, breathe, and act. And if you don't do those things, you'll die. And I believe it's appropriate in the spirit realm. You got to stop, you got to think, you got to take a breath in the spirit, and then you'll have the action lined out for you. Otherwise, you will panic and you'll say something dumb. You'll do something dumb. F, those that are seeking God continually have the answers. G, only those that walk in God's presence continually know what God is doing and are peaceful in that. Did you know if you know what God is doing, you'll walk in total peace? Why? My goodness, you can see the victory. You're not just hoping for the victory, you can see the victory. H, God uses those that are in His presence to speak God's decisions. God's presence is constant, but His actions are taking through those that speak and what they hear from God. The foolishness of preaching comes because it makes no sense to the world, but it's a speaking of what God, where God is going. You know, most churches you can walk in and say, let me tell you where God's going, and they'll get, what's the matter? You've been up? Who do you think you are? Well, yes, I have been up. Now that you mention it, and I'll tell you who I am. I'm the Word of God coming to you right at this moment. And if you will heed and if you will listen, you will live. And if you don't, you will die. Are any of us that bold? Word gives life. Anything else gives death. Why would not we be that bold? You know, I'm not a sweet Christian. I'm not. I know we need them. We really do. Thank God for them. Because I wouldn't want all of you to be like me. That's for sure. I want some of you to be a little sweet. But sometimes, somebody with some fangs, some teeth in the spirit, need to walk up and grab you. Bite you on the neck and give you a transfusion. Now see, we can take the crud of this world and turn it to good. That's what God does. Just make a decision that God uses you. That's all you have to do. Make a decision that I want to be used, and then give Him the time to make you usable. I promise you the boldness will come. I told you this last week, I know, or last week before, a constant walk in awareness of God begins as a work. I wish that out of the mother's womb we came out truly hungering and thirsting for righteousness, but we don't. And when we finally wake up and figure out that we're not all that we want to be, and we're not all that God wants us to be, then the work begins. God does the first work. He puts in you that knowledge that we're just not exactly where we're supposed to be. Thank God for that. Phrase it any way you want to. Phrase it as you're being born again. That has to be. I don't care how you phrase it, being filled with the Holy Spirit, but please understand, anytime God touches you and says, be better, it is a tremendous, precious work of God. It is never condemnation. And it's a time that we can move forward and not backwards. And I promise you, if we'll just step into that trap, we will be rewarded. We will be rewarded. We can help others. Man, we can help others. Our minds want to return to worthless wanderings. That's why the Word says, I got a job for you. Meditate. Take hold and cast out those worthless thoughts. How can you do that? Work? One time a newborn, 45, 47-year-old, worthless piece of trash that God changed. I can get excited just thinking about that. Studying the Word together, talking about the Word continuously. And he comes in one morning and he's just nearly in tears. And he said, Stan, I don't know what's wrong. Man, something's wrong. He said, I'm going to sleep every night and I'm having these terrible dreams. The things that I'm doing, and it was mostly sexual, they're terrible. And I fall out on the floor at night and I cry to God, oh God, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? for God convicting you? Don't be sorry for that. For the dreams, don't you know that the enemy can put thoughts in your mind? And you're coming against them? Why don't you just praise God that you're falling out and having a conversation with God? And do you think God appreciates that? I said, I'm going to tell you what. God is there beside you, encouraging you when you do that. And he's saying, hey, don't feel that way. I'm not making you feel that way. I may be pointing out some things in you that need to be taken care of, but I'm not condemning you. That is enemy condemnation. You know what? When he kicked off the condemnation, he didn't have any more trouble. When he said, you're right, I am forgiven, and I wouldn't do that no matter what. And God knows I wouldn't do that. I said, I know that. He said, so we're not going to have those anymore. And he didn't. Open his eyes. Letting our minds go where they want will lead us to conversations that are focused on things that are temporal and valueless. Remember that? Don't be caught talking about things that are of absolutely no value. If somebody draws you into that, did you know in every conversation somebody's going to lead that conversation? You're going to be the leader, you're going to be the follower. I had somebody tell me one time, you know, I've been hanging around you and I've been watching you and I swear everything that we talk about, you end up talking about God. Yeah? Your point? Is there any other way? My mind stayed on those things. You're not strong enough to take my mind away from those things. As we speak of the weather, the market, the price of fuel, the stock market, those kind of things, we lose focus. And when we lose focus, we lose the will of God. As we lose focus, we lose our hearing and we lose our sight. And somebody is going to end up having to pray for us. God, heal his sight. Can that happen to Christians? Elisha's right-hand man couldn't even see what Elisha was seeing. And I promise you, Elisha was a good teacher. As we hear and see valueless things, we lose our value to the kingdom. Understand, as we lose our sight, or we lose our hearing, as we lose our focus, we lose our value in the kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but that I don't want that. I want God to say he's valuable. A valuable man gets paid well. One of no value gets the minimum wage. What do you want? If we work controlling our minds in our conversation, we will begin to enjoy our walk in the cool of the day with God. The work goes away. The play comes. We'll begin to be used. We will begin to help him. We will recognize the most exciting thing in your life is when you begin to understand that you are helping God. The world will tell you, who do you think you are? I'm helping God. That's who I am. We've gone further than that in our conversations, you'll remember. I told you what my real name was. Do you remember that? Anybody can tell me what my real name is? Oh, did what's that? What else? Because I hesitated in telling you that. I didn't want to hit you too hard. My name is Yahweh Ben Yahweh Stan Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one. Yahweh ben Yahweh means God in the form of the Son of God. Stan Christ, the anointed. I am an anointed one. There was a time when Jesus was the only begotten Son. That is no longer true. Oh, man. The same spiritual sperm that birthed Jesus Christ in his mother's womb birthed me. Y'all can do that if you want. It feels good. It birthed me. He is now no longer the only begotten Son. I am his brother. That means I've been begotten by the same Father in the same way. I received the spirit of adoption. I moved on to the spirit of sonship, but that's not where I want to stay. I moved on to heir. That's the command of God. Don't stay adopted. Don't stay son. Become an heir. You know what the heir is? The heir is one that pleased the Father and now receives all inheritance, not after I'm dead, now, because the death has already been confirmed. Death, burial, and resurrection took the old away, gave me the inheritance if I want to accept it. We need to study that sometime. Later. That one was free. We become, by the way, anybody want to arm wrestle about that? I'm available. Okay. We become the answer instead of the question. Questions never have an answer. They only create fear and worry. Now I want to go over some scriptures with you and tell you what the work is until it becomes the pleasure. And the reason. Genesis chapter 24. Can we go to there? Genesis chapter 24, verse 63 and 64. And Isaac went out to meditate. This is an action, right? Let me show you what happened. Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. He lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes when she saw Isaac. In his meditation, he saw his gift. He saw his future. If he hadn't been out there meditating, he'd only seen the camels. But he saw more than the camels, and she would have only seen the back end of those camels or the front end. But she lifted her eyes in meditation, and she saw him. How do you find a wife? That's meditate. Now, if you just look, you may find a wife, but it may be that camel. Get in that place of meditation and watch all the gifts of God come to you. And watch the gifts of God recognize you. It's a reason to meditate. By the way, she gave me a word that I'm going to put in here. Meditation is not sleeping. For those of you that like to meditate with your eyes closed, that's okay, but it's not sleeping. You'll never meditate sleeping. All right, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Okay, what's supposed to be coming out of our mouths? So the book of the law is going to direct our conversation. Our meditation on the law will direct our conversation. How do I know if somebody is meditating in the Word? By their conversation. But you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do. Okay, meditation of the Word causes you to do according to all that is written in it. It directs your doer. Why do people do wrong things? They meditate on the wrong things. Why do they do right things? Because they meditate on the right thing. The Word of God directs your path. For then, you will make your... You notice that says that. That you will make your way prosperous? Now, most people that see a prosperous man say, oh, God's been good to him. No. He was smart enough to meditate. And he made his way. You make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Well, Stan, are you telling me God is not... No, I'm not telling you nothing like that. I'm telling you there is a formula. You follow the formula, you make yourself successful. Well, how? Let God figure out how. He owns all the riches. Let him figure out how he's going to get them to you. Is this the prosperity message? No, that is. Is there a prosperity message? Yes. God opened their eyes and let them see. There's a lot of success out there that's not good too, by the way. This promise is good success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage and do not be afraid. Now we know how to be strong, be of good courage, and not afraid. We meditate day and night on the word. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, that sounds like his presence. Where? Wherever you go. Well, what if I go to the bar? He'll be there. He'll either be saying, attaboy, or get out. Depending on his will, what he's up to. Just do what he says. That's all. Psalms chapter 77, verse 6. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. All right. In darkness, I'm diligently meditating and searching. But I'm not afraid. You may think I'm afraid. You might even think I look like I'm afraid. I may shut my eyes, but I am searching for God. You think he's faithful? Psalms chapter 77, verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Did you know if we meditate in the Word, we meditate on God, he causes our rememberer to work in the right direction? He makes our memories good. He takes away the bad ones. Oh, Stan. You got an hour? It won't take that long. I don't remember anything bad. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work. And it'll cause me, I put that in there, you notice that? It will cause me to talk of your deeds. When I remember God and what he's done, it will cause me to tell you about it. That's exciting. Y'all can be excited about that. God's squeezing out of me what I've been meditating on. Psalms 119. I got to keep moving. I have something to tell you tonight. When I was in the military, I was going through a first aid class one time. I never will forget that. And somebody nodded off. And the instructor said, come here. And it happened to be a first aid class. Did I mention that? And in front of the whole class, he made the guy pull his pants down. He took a needle and he said, this is how you do a shot. How many of you want to doze off? From then on, I took a set of keys. And when I sat in class, I held them like this. Because I found out if I dozed, the keys would drop and it would wake me up. Don't do that tonight. If you get a little drowsy, stand up for a minute. And I'll know that it's time. I won't do anything about it, but I'll know. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 15 and 16. I want to get this out. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. How many of you just get excited when you read about the laws of God? We're supposed to. Why? Because they're for us and not against us. How about the Old Testament? All of them, they're for us and not against us. I will not forget your word. Please remember this. God doesn't care if you memorize the King James Version of the Bible. Because he didn't have it memorized either. He wants you to know him. He's the author of the word. He promised as the author of the word to write it on your heart. And you have the promise of you will not forget the word because of meditation. Amen? It's exciting stuff. Stay with me. 119 verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wondrous work. Do you understand? I can meditate and God will make me understand the marvelous works of God. Not just see them, but understand. Now I promise you this, you're going to have a problem when that happens because 90% of the church won't go along with you there. It doesn't make any difference. You have understanding. Someday, some way, we might be forced to listen to those that have had an understanding that we have not yet had. So it'll draw us into the knowledge of God. Not so that we are knowledgeable, but so that we can become knowledgeable. Psalms 119, verse 148. My eyes are awake when I meditate. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I meditate on your word. Because I'm meditating in your word, it gives me strength in darkness. Can I mourn with you? A little bit, but not long. Can I hurt for you? A little bit, but not long. Because I'm not going to meditate on the things that are creating the pain and the hurt. I'm going to meditate on the things that are to come. Psalms 145, verse 4. Not much more. One generation shall praise your works to another. How does the future become solid? You and I talk to them. I talk to them. She talks to them. And it's how the future is made solid. What about those things that we've spent our lives meditating on? That you will declare God's mighty acts. I've said to you twice now about taking the warts off of my son's hands and putting them on the devil's nose. Some of you will never forget that. Do you want to know where the warts are? Go to hell. You'll find out where they are. I don't think y'all really want to know. Just trust me that God honors my prayers, my statements, His word. And He don't like the devil either. Y'all weren't... God does not like the devil. Okay? Verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts because of the way I said it. You know why they're going to stand in awe of God's mighty acts? How I speak them. You know one time God healed me? Oh, you're excited now, aren't you? No. Let me tell you what really happened. Let me go in some detail here. You watch the sparkle of my eye when I tell you. And you're going to say, How do I speak of God? Well, the way I really feel about Him. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. When I begin to speak of how good God is, they hear singing. Thank God they don't have to hear me sing. Pastor, take courage in that. We do not have to learn to be perfect singers for people to hear us sing of God's righteousness. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 13. But it will turn out for you as an occasion of testimony. Much testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. Can I just give you a clue? Let me say it another way. You're going to be surprised about how you answer if you just won't answer out of you. And I will give you a mouth. I thought I had one. No, you had one. God wants it reformed. I will give you a mouth. I will give you wisdom, which all of your adversaries, so you do have some, right? Just, they think it's a lot. You know it's not, because you've seen. Which all of your adversaries will not be able to contradict, gainsay, or resist. I am irresistible. It says right here. I have so much wisdom that the enemy cannot outtalk me. When it comes to a game of wits, he comes unarmed. Is that what this scripture is telling you? If you agree, you got to say something. It's by your words things are changed, even on you. Believe me, it's very important that you agree with the word. That's how that opens the word to change you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, that's what y'all were looking for. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just. Now, come on, if you'll think about this, we don't spend a lot of time looking for these things. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of a good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, do you think God would command us to do something that He wouldn't help us do? The help here is meditate. Meditate on the Word. Meditate on the awesomeness of God. Meditate on His righteousness. We've gone through this over and over. Meditate on those things. You'll be prosperous. You'll be wise. You'll be healthy. Nobody can out-talk you. Am I making it up or am I reading it to you? You thought finally, but there's one more. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Which one of you in here thinks you don't have a gift in you? Come on, honestly. No, you're not being honest. There's one right there. A young man was honest. There's more people in here that, I'm serious, that they don't believe there's a gift in them. But this is a promise. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Well, I don't know what my gift is. That's because you've been neglecting to meditate. Which was given to you by prophecy. Now don't be thinking back to a man that spoke over you. The word of God is prophecy. The greatest prophet in the world, God Himself, spoke, Jesus confirming. It's spoken to you, it's spoken over you, don't neglect. With the laying on of hands of the eldership, now you can begin to move out of the word of God and you begin to show. You know, my wife and I, when we first started this really, really, on our part, serious trusting God, we couldn't go to church. My goodness. Every place we went to church, somebody's laying hands on. Didn't make a difference where we sat. Didn't make a difference what was going on. They'd draw us out. And they'd speak things over us. I remember nearly all of them. Got tapes of a lot of them. They're all coming true. And the ones that haven't yet will. Now, you know why I'm not a sweet Christian? The prophets. I can blame them. Nearly every prophet that ever spoke over us, he'd look at me and he'd say, bull in a china closet. Bull in a china closet. How many times did we hear that? And the last time we were in Denver, we didn't live there. We were visiting. A man that if I spoke, you'd know. At the end of these services that they were having, he said, okay, we're through. Wait a minute. You and you, talking about me and my wife, come here. Okay. He looked, there was three of these guys. He looked into my eyes and he said, you're known as a bull in the china closet. I thought, oh my goodness. When are you going to come up with something fresh? I don't know what all he said. He spoke for a long time. He got through. The next guy came up and spoke. We got all that tape. We need to listen to the other guys sometime. And I began to ask God, what in the thunder are you talking about? Bull in a china closet. Where in the scripture is that? Of all the words in the Bible, that's not it. I don't know how much time went by, but one day, my wife came and said, Stan, I got it. And I said, well, what is it? She said, China is our people's idols. They're people's idols. My grandmother, I think I've got them now, had real china with real gold inlay, and you, us grandkids, we couldn't touch them. When she laid out that, the writs, you know, she laid them out for the hierarchy, the sons and daughters. They were always in that closet, and those grandkids better never touch them. And I'm the guy that gets to touch them. I not only touch them, I break them. You got any idols? Expect through the prophecy of God that I'm going to break your idols. That's my job. And ever since that time, I have thoroughly enjoyed being called a bull in the china closet. That's why I'm not a sweet Christian. I'm a breaker-upper. I didn't hear anybody say, thank you, God. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. That means there's other people looking, and they want to see you growing. That will encourage them. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save, look at this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So you can save yourself and never say a thing. But if you will start talking about this awesome God that you serve, talking about the things you meditate on, that the Holy Spirit raises up in you through because you've meditated, you will save others. What more encouraging word could I give you tonight? For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I don't like King James. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Who heard you today? Who heard you yesterday? Has anybody heard you talk about God? Even if it's your wife, it's okay, because you will hear. That's how you save yourself, by the way. You save yourself by you speaking and you hearing you speaking. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Now that's the first promise. Now we have the second one right here. You want to help others? All of you that are completely unqualified to help others, and that's what the enemy's been telling you, there's your answer. Meditate. Do those things that we've talked about tonight, and you will save yourself, and you will save others. About this time, you should run on top of the pews. Any time that you can literally know that you can save others and help others, that's what ought to set you on fire. I'm already saved. I am saved. God comes right now, I promise you. You better be really up on things, or I'll beat you out of here. I'm saved. That's not enough. I hate the devil. Those people that are not saved are going to be with the devil for eternity. And that should sicken us. But let me tell you something good. That's our response. Amen? Stand with me. That's finally. Okay. We have a visitor tonight. Y'all can visit with him after church. It's okay. We can be the worm, or we can have dominion. Which one would you rather be? Did I say that if she meditated on the word, she'd have no fear? Didn't y'all? Y'all heard me say that, right?
You said you could run on the pews, right?
No, I said you. I know we can put it under our foot, but I won't do that because it'll make a mess. Okay. See, I had dominion. Let's practice it. When we know somebody's standing in front of us, and they're on their way to hell, let's practice dominion. Let God cause something to come up in us that only He can regulate and only He can think of. And watch people get saved, changed. And if you don't see them get changed, know they're changed anyway. Because His word never returns void. Even when it comes out of me, it does not return void. He will finish what He started. Anytime you are in, I don't care if it's a funeral, a wake, a wedding, I don't care what it is, God can use you at that moment to start something you may not see finished, but you know in your heart He will finish it. Amen? Amen. All hearts clear? Father, we thank You tonight for this time together, and I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You for what the Word has done to me. Now I thank You for what it's doing to them. I thank You that we will all leave here changed tonight, and for tomorrow we have become a better tool in Your hand. We will meditate, we will speak Your Word, and the world will change because of it. All of this is completed and done in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Thank You for Your time.